Ramsey TV.
I was talking on the phone to somebody the other day. I don't know, maybe I'm the only guy that'll think this is funny, but the person on the other line said, "You seem a little bit distracted. Like, do you have your computer open?" And I said, "Well, you caught me. I confess to you, I'm looking at an artist's rendition of Pangea." I think that's hilarious. I don't know why. Pangea. Yes, Pangea being the name given to when the Earth was one landmass. Yeah, I don't know. It's just funny. Like, I could have been looking at anything. What was I looking at? Pangea. Yes, well, Genesis 10:25 says that the Earth was separated. The landmass was separated in the days of Peleg. Good old Peleg. And you can see where the western part of Africa obviously fits into the eastern part of South America. And when you look at the continental shelves, is it continental shelves? I'm sorry, I don't use that term very often. In any kind of diagram, any kind of topographical diagram of the ocean floor, you can see where the continents were. It was one landmass. And somebody called it Pangea. That's not a biblical term. I said, "I'm sorry, I'm looking at Pangea, please. You have to excuse me. I was fascinated by Pangea." This is Martin Zender. I'm on the Floridan Peninsula, which used to be tucked somewhere in Western Europe. Eastern Europe. I forget where the Floridan Peninsula was. Could have been Northern Africa. But anyway, it's all going to be joined again, I believe, at this massive earthquake at the end of Millennium 6, which we are fast approaching, and Pangea will be with us again, except it probably won't be called Pangea. It will probably be called Harold or something like that, or Fred. But it's going to be great. Now, we had a lot of fun yesterday talking about how mortality F's things up. I hope you enjoyed that. I got a lot out of my system last night back in my bedroom back here. I appreciate your comments. Many of you said that was really delivering. That was really helpful. I was feeling the same thing. Why is it that this isn't emphasized that much? Like, we have a major problem. We have this albatross hanging around our neck. There's an elephant in the room. Yeah, the elephant's in the room. Can you hear it? Well, I can see it. I can feel it. It's called mortality. That's the elephant in the room. And it's effing things up. So that's why you're having a bad day. Now, back to the remnant. Now, Friday and all last week, I was talking to you about where the lost 10 tribes of Israel went. The 10 northern tribes that were separated by God, a divine act. God said, "This thing is of me." Yeah, because Solomon was freaking out. King David's kid. Solomon, he was the king of one kingdom, and he loved it. But then after his days, it was split. God did this. God said, "This thing's of me. Cool it. I'm taking 10 tribes north, leaving 2 tribes in the land with a sprinkling of Levites so you can do the temple service and in Jerusalem. And I'm going to scatter the 10 tribes like in a sieve." Amos 9:9. I gave you that quote. Look it up on your own. Amos 9:9. I'm going to scatter them. Now I'm going to show you today how they're brought back. How they're going to be brought back at the end of this eon, and it's going to be a marvel. Now before I do that, from Ezekiel 37, also going to go to Isaiah 43. For you Isaiah 43 fans, you will not be disappointed. And for the fans of Luke 13, what's that verse I'm going to go to? This is an amazing verse. Oh my God, Luke 13, starting with verse 20. Luke 13, starting with verse 25, going down to verse 35. You are going to love it. You're going to love it. I was asked a great question over the weekend, saying, "Martin, you're saying that you think that this lost 10 tribes, these people that were scattered, you say that if we want to find them, we'll look for characteristics of Israel." And you mentioned all these horrible characteristics of Israel. Form of devoutness, denying the power, lording it over other people. Because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. Bartering in God for money, taking his name in vain. Yeah, all these characteristics of Christians. Having the word, but denying the power. Those are That's where the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Somebody said, well, so you're saying that these people that you say that Christianity today probably is mixed in there is a bunch of long ago Israelites, people who say they're from Iowa, and they probably are, but their ancestors are from England, probably are, but where are their ancestors from? There's the question. I say they're from the lost 10 tribes of Israel. So, Martin, you're saying that these people believe the circumcision gospel? Haha, no, I'm not. Only the remnant believes the circumcision gospel. Because, you see, there are two kinds of Israelites today. There are the majority who are calloused and very, very stupid. And there's a minority, an uber, uber minority that Paul calls the remnant. Who is the remnant and who is the majority that are calloused and stupid? Good question. The remnant are the people I referenced last week. I talked about certain ministries that are pretty pure circumcision people. They got the gospel of circumcision down pat. They, for the most part, keep Paul out of it. There's an outfit in Merrimack, Massachusetts called Destiny Publishers. They are very good concerning the circumcision gospel. I told you I taught occasionally at a church in Detroit, Michigan called Restoration Bible Church, and I said that they had maps of Israel all over the place, and they were pretty good with the circumcision. They were adhering to it, and they hated it when I came and announced Paul, and they kicked me out. They never had me back because I started teaching justification apart from law. These are good circumcision people because they can't abide Paul. So only the remnant, the rare, rare group of people, they're as rare as we are in the body of Christ. They're as rare as we are. They are adhering to the true circumcision gospel, and they're marginalizing Paul. The majority, what Paul calls the callous, let me show you these two groups here again in Romans 11, verse 7. Paul says, what then? What Israel is seeking for, this she did not encounter. And again, what Israel is seeking for is the kingdom, as announced to Abraham. This she did not encounter, yet the chosen encountered it. The chosen are the remnant of verse 5. Paul says in verse 5, let me remind you, thus then in the current era also there has come to be a remnant, according to the choice of grace. So what Israel is seeking for she did not encounter, yet the chosen encountered it. Now the rest were calloused. The rest, that's a bunch of people. Kind of like the Gilligan's Island theme song, the first one. When they sang in the song, there's Gilligan the skipper too, the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, and the rest, and the rest. The rest was a professor in Marianne. It was very disrespectful. They eventually said, rewrote the song, the theme song, and they said, the professor and Marianne. Finally, they got their due. But the rest, it's a very broad general term. Paul uses it here, not anticipating what will happen in the future with Sherwood Schwartz and the creation of Gilligan's Island and the theme song. He says this, the rest were calloused. And in this case, it's not just two people, the professor and Marianne. It is a large group of people, namely most of Christianity. The rest were calloused. The rest were callous. Even as it is written, God, even as it is written, God gives them a spirit of stupor. That they're walking around like dopes. They're walking around like drunk people. This describes the majority of Christianity. Eyes not to be observing. Yep, that's Christianity. They have eyes. I'm looking at their eyes, but they're glazed over. We tell them the truth. Their eyes are glazed. They look at us as we announce the truth, and you can see their eyes are glazed, eyes not to be observing, ears not to be hearing. You tell them this stuff. You tell them about Paul. You tell them about justification. You contrast it with forgiveness. You tell them about reconciliation. Contrast it with conciliation. Contrast it with eternal hell, for God's sake, and they absolutely don't get it. Why? Because they've been given a spirit of stupor. Now, you don't have to be a callous Israelite from way back when to have a spirit of stupor. You could be a member of the nations, a bona fide member of the nations, and also have a spirit of stupor. It's a general spirit of stupor. It's the spirit of stupor described in Romans 11:32. God locks up all together in stubbornness. This spirit of stupor is specific. It's a double whammy. God gives people whom he has locked up in stubbornness a spirit of stupor. It's like a subcategory, a subdirectory, a subfile. Here's a bunch of people that are locked up in stubbornness. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give a lot of them a spirit of stupor. Oh, that's double dipping. That is double dipping. And they are double dips. Yes, they are. They're double dips. And they remain stupid to this day. Now, these people, what gospel are they embracing? Ah, thanks for asking. They're embracing the anathema gospel, that is the mixed gospel that Paul condemns in Galatians chapter 1. Am I even going to get to Ezekiel 37 today? And Isaiah 53 and Luke 13? I got a lot to get into, and I told you I'm going to do the politics thing this week, and I haven't got a lot to say about what's happening, current events. It's all going according to plan. Not my plan, but God's plan. And it's like I've been telling you for 10 years, I've been predicting this. That's what I do. I make sense for a living. Okay, now, Galatians, I need to go to Galatians chapter 1 to remind you and to tell you that the difference, there's a remnant and there's the rest. The rest is a lot of people. The remnant is a little bit of people. The rest, that is those who are calloused, given the spirit of stupor, or if you want to put it in colloquial terms, the spirit of duh. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but the difference between the remnant and the rest is the difference between those who are adhering to the true circumcision gospel and those who are adhering to the bastard gospel, the mixed gospel, the anathema gospel of Galatians chapter 1. And I'm going to go there right now to remind you. Paul says this, grace to you and peace. This is Galatians 1, 3. Let's skip the grace and peace stuff. I want to get right to the good stuff. Verse 6, Galatians 1. I am marveling that thus swiftly you are transferred from that which calls you in the grace of Christ, that is Paul's gospel, to a different evangel. You must put evangel here, a different evangel in air quotes because it's not a true evangel. A different evangel, which is not another, that is not another evangel. The other evangel that was legitimate and that existed was Peter's evangel, the evangel of the circumcision. So Paul is referencing three gospels here, two that are literal. One is in air quotes, and it's bogus. Your transfer from that which calls you in the grace of Christ, that's Paul's gospel, a legitimate gospel, to a different air quote evangel, a bastardized evangel, as we're going to see, which is not another, that is another evangel, which is the circumcision evangel, which is legit, except that it be that some who are disturbing you, i.e., the circumcisionists from Jerusalem who were spying out their freedom, the freedom of the Gentiles, and were jealous of it. Oh, we're going to get jealousy in Romans 11. Those who are disturbing you want also to distort the evangel of Christ. There it is, the distortion, like a funhouse mirror. They're taking the evangel of Christ, which is Paul's evangel, the same evangel he mentions in verse 6, that which calls you in the grace of Christ. That's the evangel of Christ of verse 7, that is being put through a funhouse mirror. In fact, a hall of funhouse mirrors. That is what the Christian gospel is. It is taking Paul's pure gospel of conciliation, of 100% grace, of God's will, not your will, of Jesus Christ saves you, your decision doesn't save you, of God is going to save the entire world, that his blood reconciled everyone that Adam condemned. This pure stuff is being run through a funhouse mirror. The funhouse mirror, the hall of funhouse mirrors, otherwise known as the Worldwide Church of God, the Baptist Church, the Pentecostal Church, the Church of Christ, your friendly neighborhood high school cool kid non-denominational church, where it's happening, baby. That's a hall of funhouse mirrors that distorts the pure evangel of Christ. And it mixes, that's what the bastard gospel does. It mixes elements of the circumcision with the uncircumcision. It basically starts, not even, but it, ideally, it starts with the uncircumcision gospel. And then so many other elements are pulled into it from the circumcision gospel, like law, especially law and the earth and forgiveness. And it's mixed in and you have a mess, a hodgepodge. Okay, the majority of Christianity believes that. The remnant of Israelites who are still today adhering to the circumcision gospel, this is the remnant. Did I say that right? Yeah, the majority of Christianity is not the remnant. The majority of Christianity is those that were calloused. The remnant, very, very small group, probably commensurate with our, with the size of our group, they are believing the actual circumcision evangel and are not mixing Paul. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? Because you have Paul's gospel, like he's talking about in Galatians, that which calls you in the grace of God. You have that being distorted by the circumcision, and that is screwing up Paul's people. But on the other side of the coin, you also have the gospel of the circumcision, gospel given to Abraham, and some are importing elements of Paul into it, and it's just as screwed up. So it doesn't matter which way you go, you're still producing a distorted gospel. And it is only a very small group of people on both ends of this thing that are keeping it pure. We're keeping Paul pure, and there are some organizations in this country and in the world that are keeping the circumcision gospel pure. I used to study them. I know them. One of the teachers was Ray Prinzing. One of them was Paul Mueller. One of them was J. Preston Eby. Jory Brooks was doing it in Michigan. There's an entire outfit in Merrimack, Massachusetts called Destiny Publishers. You're going to find them. Go just look them up. Look them up. They're big into... They actually have a tract called Why Paul Belongs in the Bible, which tells you that there's is a movement within the group that thinks Paul should be out of the Bible, which is very interesting. Martin Luther thought James should be out of the Bible because he knew James clashed with Paul. And there are people who adhere to the circumcision gospel who think Paul should be out of the Bible because they know Paul clashes with James. In a way, it's a beautiful thing. But the groups that are true to it are so small on the fringes. And the majority is mixed. The majority is muddled. The majority is callous. The majority is stupid. And these are the ones, I'm not going to get to Ezekiel 37 till tomorrow, or Isaiah 43. These are the ones who are going to have to be adjusted during the tribulation. I'm going to tell you tomorrow what's going to happen to these people. And a lot of these people are your loved ones, your friends, your family members. They're totally callous. They're totally gone. I believe that some of the remnant will be part of the core of the 144,000, these actual true believers. But you know what? I don't even think there's that many faithful, even to the circumcision. 144,000, that's too many, way too many. I think it's more like 144. But when the tribulation starts, the love of many will wax cold. Many Christians will just drop it. They'll say, they were just total posers. There are others, maybe your loved ones in Christianity, who they're screwed up. They don't know nothing from nothing, and it leaves them with nothing. But they're earnest. They have a zeal without knowledge, as Paul says, zeal without knowledge. But they're earnest. They really do want to give their lives for this thing, but they're floundering and foundering. And so it is these, the sincere ones, the ones who really want to do something for God and Christ, but again, they have zeal without knowledge, they are going to come to the knowledge. I believe during the time of Jacob's trouble, during the tribulation, they're not in the body of Christ. They're not going to be snatched away. The whole scenario of left behind, the Christian fantasy, that all these people who name the name of Christ are going to go away. No, none of them are going away. None of them are being snatched away. That's only the tiny, tiny remnant of the body of Christ. Not talking about the Romans 11 remnant now, but the body of Christ. Shouldn't even call it a remnant because I don't want to confuse you with the remnant of Romans 11. Those are Israelites. They're not going to be snatched away either. So both groups of Israelites I'm talking about in Romans 11 are staying on terra firma. That would be the remnant, even the pure ones, even the good ones. Well, surely Martin saying that the good Israelites are going to be snatched away. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're going through the day of indignation. They're going to probably part of the 144,000, which means they're going to be sealed. They're going to be unharmed, and they're going to testify during that time period. And God is going to be moving in supernatural ways at that time, because now this time of the nations, this time of the secret of lawlessness, where lawlessness is given a happy face. Now, all that's going to come off, and lawlessness is going to be exposed for what it is, and Satan's going to be furious. He's going to be on the earth, but this is going to be met with a counterattack of the Spirit of God. And as I'm going to show you tomorrow in Ezekiel 37 and Isaiah 43, the Spirit of God is going to move, and it's going to supernaturally preserve these people, just like Elijah was preserved in the wilderness. All God's prophets were preserved in the wilderness. Israel, look at Israel coming out of Egypt, preserved miraculously in the wilderness. Those days are coming back. They're not happening now because we're in the thing called the era of the nations. But once the body of Christ is snatched away, we're going to get to this in Romans 11:25 through the end of that chapter. We're going to see God's going to move big time. And this is described in minute detail of what's going to happen to your friends and your family members who are at least trying. They want to do something for God. Okay, these people, they're still in the dark. They're still callous. They're still stupefied. But God is going to move on them. And they're going to start to get it. The light is going to shine on them. They're going to suffer for the truth. Some of them might have to die for the truth, but they'll be happy to do it at that time. It'll be a great honor for them to do it at that time. We're not even going to die, period, let alone become martyrs. We're going to be snatched away while we're, you know, eating ice cream cones or watching television. We're just going to be snatched away. We're not going to go through any of this trouble, any of this mess called the tribulation. I hope you're happy about that. I know I am.